As I said in my bio, I am an enterprise architect. I've been supporting, well, I'm a Northrop Grumman contractor, supporting NICFI and the Division of Integrated Surveillance Systems and Services, the CDC, focusing on outbreak management. In the last 2 years, we've been looking at trying to apply a concept called enterprise architecture to solve some of the problems that we've experienced, specifically with OMS and some of the other IT projects you probably have been experienced with. And I say OMS, the outbreak management system. That's why this was called the Outbreak Management System Evaluation, although we're going to learn about it a little more. Maybe it's not exactly an evaluation, but kind of getting ready for an evaluation. Today's presentation will be a discussion on an hypothesis on how to do this, as well as foster some collaborations along with this year's theme with collaboration with Crossroads and the communities of practice that are being introduced. What we're hoping to do is to kind of bring the disconnect between the public health practitioners and the IT folks to better form IT strategies. When we get into this architecture, this is not the strategy itself, but it's just about how we can be more informative and bring the two camps together to bring to foster better strategies and to make happier practitioners and capital planners. Given my past experience with OMS and this year's resurrection, it did have an enterprise architecture component with it. I thought we might share a little bit about what the OMS project is doing with enterprise architecture and the progress that they've made so far. But as with any new theory, and this is a new theory, not really new per se, but new to this particular area, conventional thinking or common practice is difficult to change. Although our talk is going to be very philosophical, the fruits of its labor are not going to be realized for a few years. Today's discussion will also include a general problem statement, as well as the specific OMS problem, and the notional solution of applied enterprise architecture. And I should give you a better understanding of what I mean by enterprise architecture in outside of the perceived IT context. After that, we'll transition into more of a current state of OMS project and the progress of the EA component, as I just said. And let's see, once again, it's more about trying to do, well, I would say it's philosophical, because it's more about what we're trying to do than what we've actually done, and we're going to go through some of those challenges. And finally, we'll talk about some short and long-term opportunities that I see with this concept, as well as with the communities of practice and the collaboration theme we're hearing about at FIN this year. First of all, here's the generic problem statement. Public health and IT, as I see it, is disconnected. First, the IT folks are constantly looking for the new technology, the new techniques. They want to bolster their resume. They want to be involved in what's now or what's in the future because they want to maintain their employment, so to speak. But that doesn't necessarily translate into what's best for the practitioners. And I think everybody has seen that where new technology has come about and it's not really providing any value. You may have even heard the expression, everything's a nail and we've got the best hammer for it. Well, we're trying to get away from that. And I look at the practice first rather than saying how can we fit grid into a problem we don't know anything about. If that makes sense. Adoption has always been a problem specifically in this area because of that disconnect, and it's also due to some of the training. You guys are constantly being asked to go through training, and it kind of gets in the way of some of maybe the public health practice and the reason that you are an EPI or you are a public health practitioner. And so we recognize that. And so saying that, trying to make an EPI be more IT focused or an IT person more EPI centric is a very difficult challenge thing to do, and not even sure if it's the right thing to do. So, what we're going to talk about here is a means for us both to communicate and collaborate. And I'm also asserting without this collaboration and communication, we'll never get to service-oriented architecture. We'll never get to public health grid, some of the things you're hearing about. We'll never get there because we won't be able to impact public health outcomes. I think you heard about that in Diane's discussion about moving it from how well the IT is implemented to more of an evaluation of the activities themselves. And without that, it doesn't matter what kind of technology we throw at a problem, we're never going to get to a solution that means something. So, When I heard about this year's themes about collaboration and crossroads, I thought it might be worth showing what we've done in outbreak management with enterprise architecture, even though we haven't gotten a lot done. It is more philosophical, more theoretical right now at this point. But I think it shows where without the collaboration and without these communities of practice, we won't be able to answer these questions that were brought up in the earlier discussions. So what about OMS? OMS, for those who don't know, is the Outbreak Management System, and it was really the funding project for the enterprise architecture work that I was doing this year. What they knew, they did have business analysts, and they did know that they needed to be involved with stakeholders. So the idea of collaborating with stakeholders was not new here. So what they ended up doing was putting together a working group in 2005, and in a sense, answered some of the work practices issues, but they did not see the big picture. The problem is that everything was focused on state and local, which I think was a great start because that's where, I guess, the work is done, where the boots are on the ground. You need to start there. But the problem is that work fits in a larger context, and that's what's missing. So if you have business analysts come in and they have an IT project that they're working on to get user requirements that I'm sure everybody's been involved in, if it's that specific to the stakeholders that champion that system or that specific to this one system, you're missing the larger picture. And that's what we saw with OMS. So now, another thing was performance, and that got touched on earlier today. Well, they were measuring adoption. How many states have used OMS? Well, not that many. How many local public health departments are using it? Not that many. Is that the only metric that we should be interested in? Going back to the earlier presentation, we need to be interested in the activities that are supported, not necessarily how well it's been implemented. Being implemented and using best practice in software development and a great software development lifecycle means nothing unless it's tied to the activities and you can see improvement to those activities, not to mention to the eventual outcomes. It's one thing to say, well, I can collect data faster, or I can do contact tracing, but if that doesn't mean anything to the public health in general, or outcomes, or to the service to the citizens, it's not a worthy investment, and it won't be sustained. Let's see here. Now, what happened during, as far as OMS is concerned, is that they did have this working group, and they tried to address some of these issues, and they did miss that larger picture. And what you've seen is what they touted as a FIN-compliant tool that had FIN vocabulary standards, but didn't fit in the larger picture, as I just talked about. And they ended up with a very highly configurable tool that in the eyes of the engineers looked great, in the eyes of some of the state departments that were actually using it was very good, but it didn't necessarily fit with everybody's day-to-day activities, and so you had lots of wasted time and double data entry into the disease reporting systems, emergency operations wasn't streamlined. So even at the CDC, if every state was using OMS, they didn't have a way to kind of combine or aggregate or de-identify the data quickly and easily to get some intelligence out of the data that was collected. And then what about the funders? And that goes back to the DEOC. You know, this was a project that was funded out of BT dollars, which I think a lot of these systems were. And what did the BT events get out of states using OMS? Well, not a lot, because once again, they weren't interoperable and they weren't able to aggregate or summarize the data very fast. Now, some of the new versions of OMS can do that, but still it isn't streamlined to address their needs as well as it should be, because they weren't included in that working group. Going back to, they're focused on state and locals where it starts. But if you don't look at end-to-end solutions, you're not going to go very far. And finally, what is the outcome of all this? Well, we have Katrina, we have Salmonella, and it's measured with, and it's evaluated, or not evaluated, but data is collected in Access databases and Excel spreadsheets and disparate systems, and now we haven't taken that next step forward. With all this technology that's out there and all the millions of dollars we've spent, and we can't take the next step forward. I think I've hit most of these things. I'm going to skip on down to our, excuse me. I want to move on to the notional answer, and I say notional because this is a pilot project, but how do we apply enterprise architecture here to solve some of these issues we talked about? I've touched on this where there's been a lot of discussion with EPIs are being trained in informatics or informaticians being trained in the EPI science, but I bet that first of all, let me say this. I think that most of the community here probably thinks that the EPIs can be IT. At least that's what I'm hearing. And I would say if you go talk to the IT folks, they're going to say no way. If you go talk to the EPI folks, they're going to say yes, we can. And I'm saying we got to quit thinking about this and find a way for us to communicate and collaborate. And I believe the enterprise architecture can be one of those mechanisms. Simply stated, EPIs have a way, they know how they do things, and they have their own terminology. Regardless of their skill set of the IT practitioners and their understanding of what the EPI needs are, unless they use the terminology, we're not really communicating. Therefore, we don't get systems that meet needs. And I cannot stress this. I can't tell you how many times I've been in there where everybody thinks they understand each other, and they really don't. Terms like reporting, alerting, notification, surveillance, are words that have just, in my career, have been very ambiguous and have different meanings depending on the stakeholders you're talking to, and how to build a system or design a system that is very logical and everything has to be perfectly documented and in line for the computer system to actually be beneficial, that brings a big problem. So we look for enterprise architecture to bring us the structure and the uniformity to be able to capture the terminology in a way that the IT practitioner can actually understand and apply it and utilize their creativity and their innovation and the new technologies they want to use to actually make a difference. Let's see here. I'm getting kind of lost on my slides here. I am. I'm lost. I can't see. I need my podium.
No, I'm laughing at epidemiology.
Oh, you like that? let's see here. Where am I? Anyway, this slide is. This is not right. I'm sorry, guys. Repeatable process. I know we need to talk about this. How is this different than business analyst work is the point that I'm trying to make here. And every IT project, especially everyone I've been involved in NICVI, has had two or three business analysts that have been going out and talking to the community and trying to figure out what the user requirements are. And once again, it was very focused on the system and the features and the champion's wants and needs. Well, we need to be able to do that, and we need to be able to sustain this work outside the life of an IT project. The best way to put this is, if when you build a software application, it's going to live for a certain period of time, and it's going to be retired. Technology is going to evolve, but the practice itself is also evolving, but it's not necessarily, it is mutually exclusive in some cases, where they evolve in different paths, and they don't necessarily are together. In other words, if OMS might be the best tool at this particular point, the evolution of outbreak management practice may evolve, and it may still be the tool, but then technology evolves, and then we come up with FIN grids, and we come up with SOA, and maybe it becomes irrelevant. There is not that big tie to a specific process analysis that's done for OMS and the technology used for OMS is based on what you can do right then to meet the needs. And all I'm trying to say is this process of the practice, of the measurement of the documentation of the practice needs to be sustainable long, long after OMS has gone away. Because it needs to continually be looked at just like you might look at, well, as you might want to try to redesign a system, you need to constantly evolve your practice of outbreak management so that when you do want to go feed IT dollars, you have something to measure it against. Okay. Anyway, I know I've said a lot here. Let's talk about what I believe are the key takeaways of our approach here. And I think we can maybe get back to some semblance of organization as through my discussion here, and I do apologize for getting lost there. All right, first of all, needs assessments have been going on a long time, and this is kind of a recap of what I've talked about, but this is kind of the summary of our notional answer, then I'll get back to where we are with OMS. Needs assessment has been going on for a very long time using business analysts. Applying EA techniques will move this analysis and work practices outside of the scope of IT and make it sustainable for software applications come and go. Making them sustainable, this work can be used for decision making via governance and communities in practice and not sitting on a shelf collecting dust. So just like I said before, we did an IT project, we had an analyst up there that did all of this work, and you have use case documents that are sitting on a desk somewhere or sitting in a file cabinet and not being applied to the practice and decision making in the future outside of the scope of that IT project. I think that's a bad thing. And finally, we want to look at EA as a long-term investment beyond, and use that for governing projects. And last but not least, be a repeatable process that would be a wonderful fit into the federated FIN structure that's being introduced today at FIN, or this week at FIN. They have the domain-specific communities of practice, and the overall it's kind of a federated structure. Having means where we can look across these and some structure where some of the communities of practice can do the same types of things, we can start to see some of the commonalities across those. Also want to remember that the innovative technical discussions that are going on, i.e. the SOA and grid stuff, I don't believe is they're possible, the technology is possible, but any meaningful impact utilizing these technologies is going to require some type of analysis like this. I know that Diane talked about doing some evaluations, but we do need this process or methodology, if you will, to capture the right information to be able to plan which services are put into the grid and how things are going to interact. Otherwise, you're going to have 10 million services out there that mean nothing. We have to have a handle on the big picture and documenting how the public health practitioner goes about meeting their objectives. No technology jump will ever make that difference. One last analogy I'd like to give about what applying EA is the analogy of a water molecule. If you remember back in chemistry class, we had a periodic table of elements. Well, when you look at grids or service-oriented architecture, those services represent those elements. We need that periodic table of elements, and that's what enterprise architecture actually is doing, is defining in a systematic way what those elements are and how they relate. And I'm being told we need to move forward. But if you think of it, how can you understand the compilation of water if you don't have that periodic table of elements describing how the hydrogen and oxygen come together? All right, enough of the philosophy. Here's what's happening. As most of you know, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So where we started, I'm going to get through this really quick, but OMS funding was restored this year, and they included this enterprise architecture. They called it an evaluation, but really it was an analysis of the practice itself. We needed to start to have significant collaboration with all the stakeholders, including the state and locals, as well as at the national level. And we needed to stay away from being OMS feature-centric. And the business, I'm trying to get through this quickly, but the business analysts in the last version of OMS, when they were doing this work, they talked about they actually learned very little about investigations and management, more about features and user interfaces that made sense for the people that were looking at OMS. We needed to look at larger initiatives of FIN key performance measures or standards that were not addressed early enough. So when funding was restored, it was included as an additional project of the EA to help mitigate some of those mistakes. It was incorrectly named the OMS Enterprise Architecture Evaluation, as so was this discussion that we're having right now, because it's not the evaluation. It's the information that we need to support any independent evaluations in the future. Expectations. What we expect to do, and we'll go through this real quick, I'm gonna forget these notes here because they're not helping me right now, but what we plan to do when we first started this was to utilize the method for business transformation. It was a process developed out of Department of Interior to do this very thing. Why? Because they lost 80% of their IT budget. I don't know, this is maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but they needed to do something, so this was their answer. And it turns out by using these techniques that we've been talking about, now they're the golden standard. When we went to the e-governance conference last year in DC, the chief architect at the time, Richard Burke, got up and stood up and endorsed this as the right thing to do. Now, at CDC and HHS, they didn't have this in place yet, but they did hear Richard Burke's message that we needed to do this, and so they started working on another one. The problem is we had funding and we could not wait for it, so we went and we just took the DOI's process and started working with it. So what we had planned on trying to get accomplished here was just get the stakeholders and drivers current target environment, so we want to know about their performance, some of the questions that you were trying to answer. We wanted to collect this information. And I want to add, this is more of a collection process, I'm not sitting at my desk defining these things. It is truly dependent on the community's input into this. And come up with a conceptual solution. What could we keep? What did NICFI do right? What's available out there? What are some COTS products? How can we come up with a concept that would make sense to improve stakeholder needs and be able to be compliant with some of the mandates that are put onto them? This would represent the stakeholders' vision. What we were able to do? Well, we have kindly broken it down into a stakeholder and driver analysis, a business analysis, and a performance scorecard framework. We've had a lot of time this year, but we haven't had a lot of success in actually being able to engage the stakeholders. With the standing up of the communities of practice and the change at NICFI, we have had a very difficult time actually getting access to them. Now, we did do some things at the CST conference, which I think were very beneficial. We are also going to be engaging with the Public Health Institute's Common Ground project. We believe they're doing similar things, and we think they're very valuable. Going back to the collaboration theme here, there's something that we need to be doing. We don't need to reinvent this. Once again, this is collection, not defining. Stakeholder interviews with various centers and offices at CDC to capture the national perspective. We need to be doing that. We've got plans for that. And this, what we plan to have in the next month, will be a preliminary draft, not unlike what we saw with Diane's not exhaustive list, as you put it, but just a list of what you thought. This will be an initial list or a preliminary list of things that would answer a lot of these questions. Here's some of the things that we've done. We did this. This up here is what we got out of the CTS conference. We had a stakeholder kind of facilitated discussion, and we were able to build what I'm calling a taxonomy or classification scheme of all of the stakeholders that have some type of impact within outbreak management. Why that's necessary is when we start to do some business process modeling and I need to know what roles are available, I have an actual vetted list of stakeholders that are actually involved in some of the process modeling that you see in the top right. Down here, we'll be able to look at the investments that are currently in place or anything that we're considering and how they map to actual functions that are identified up here, as well as we can use this same type of thing to actually map where investments are hitting mandates or drivers. So we all have to be compliant here, but we need to have a kind of a check ball or a meatball list to see that make sure that we're hitting our mandates, whether that be federal or at the state level. The last one is kind of the culmination of all of this to build a scorecard. This is an example of what DOI does, where they're looking at a service-oriented architecture. They have all their proposed services, whether they're current services or where they see them in a future version of their architecture, and how they score to not just how well they implemented the IT, but how it met their process and activities, how it met their goals and objectives. And it gives them a way to do what I heard earlier, kind of baseline and figure out how well you did. It's great to think ahead of time, well, these are the things that we think make sense, but let's use this being a sustainable model where we can come back and actually see what kind of impact we had on the public health outcomes that we set out to try to improve. And that will give you some analysis to do for business case analysis to figure out, do we need to retire this? Is this going in the right direction? And that kind of gets the capital planners happy, where you get a return on your investment. Short term, just said before, business case development to either retire or think of new ways, opportunities within NICFI. You know, what did we get right? Where can we go now? Long-term, community practice. This means absolutely nothing. If you remember anything after this discussion, I know I got a little out of track here, but if you remember this, none of this work, this is just engineering practice here, but it means nothing without the community's involvement in filling this out. I can't sit in my office and write any of these. Well, I can't. I can make them pretty. I can do all of these, I promise you. But they mean absolutely nothing if the community's not involved. And so where I see the benefit here is when we break off, and if you guys do participate in communities of practice, to look at this type of evaluation to help grow the practice, to help articulate it. Because then FIN itself can look across all of those specific domain communities of practice and see the larger picture. And then when their IT groups, whether it be a COTS product, whether it be a third-party vendor, whether it be a contractor that's trying to do some IT work for the government, has something to, number one, build a strategy on, number two, evaluate if they're making any progress. And that's where I see the long-term version. Right now, it's a project within NCVI, and they can use it for certain things, but I'm hoping to see this type of work discussed further at the community of practice this week. And that's it. And this is my contact information. Please.
Too late in the day.
Mm-hmm. I explained it that well. I don't believe that. Well, I'm hoping to leverage the community of practice. The problem with that is that I can't dictate the agenda of the community of practice. So hopefully by having a discussion like this, number one, it's mandated by law at the federal level. They have to do this. So what I'm trying to express that in the spirit of enterprise architecture, there is some value at the end of the day. Through the communities of practice, that would be the means to get to that larger audience that's not here. We went through a discussion at CSTE, and Aaron, you were there. It was probably an hour and a half of nothing but just people spitting out different stakeholder classes that are impacted by what goes on during outbreak management. We planned on trying to address three different topics with that community and only got through the one. Dr. Rhodes isn't here, or maybe he's in another area, but he asked a question about defining what situational awareness was. Same problem with outbreak management. What's outbreak management? Well, when I first got into it, it was all about the investigation activities. Well, there's a lot more to it than that, and the management and the support that needs to be discussed so that if you do build a strategy for IT, that it addresses those issues. And so to answer your question, it's really all about the communities of practice and engaging those types of groups and letting them take this and own it. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it with a small team of folks sitting in NCVI. This really has to be kind of taken on by the community to capture that. That's what I'm referring, what I refer to is building an IT strategy or a change management strategy on how to address the needs. It's not just about, do I want to build another tool? It could be process reengineering. It could be when you look at the processes together collectively in a community, you realize that you're not doing things as efficiently as you could. So it requires no change in informatics, but a change in process or just better communication within the practice. This is nothing more than a catalog of information that's organized properly where you can see it and compare side by side with related activities.